thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, October the 2nd, 2025. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, KS. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. How are you doing?
Everything's good here. We've got a lot of folks in town for our AFA weekend time, and so we're just delighted to have supporters here who are joining us, and we welcome folks I know who want to drop by sometime and see us. They're going here, there, or the other, right, Fred?
Yeah, I just met a bunch of folks. Pennsylvania, they drove 16 hours to be down here from Missouri, and then Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
They drove 16 hours from Missouri. They did go through Pennsylvania.
No, 16 hours from Pennsylvania.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. I really understood, but thought I'd make a bad joke about folks from the Show-Me State, where I was born, by the way.
Oh really? Yes. I did not know that.
Yes, I was born in the Show-Me State.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
I did not. I just figured.
You know, 1963.
1963?
Yes, okay. I remember it well.
Yes, and so... Yeah, my dad was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
It's Army base there.
Don't they call it Fort Lost in the Woods?
It's out in the middle of nowhere. That's for sure.
It's a huge base.
Yeah. One time it was one of the largest, if not the largest, base by acreage in a military base in the country. I don't know if it still is or not. Anyway, so I was born, and that's about 3 hours from you, right, Ray?
I've been right past Fort Leonard Woods, and
There's no S on the end.
There's no S. That's right. There's no S.
It's at Fort Leonard Wood.
Wood, it is truly out in the middle of nowhere. Just as Fred said,
named after a man. Who was an Army. I don't know if he was a general or whatever. Yep. But
my son-in-law was based there for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, listen, folks. Thanks for joining us on the program today. A lot to talk about. Ray, give us a good word from the Bible, if you would.
Hey, still in the book of Job with my wife, but we came this week to, Tim, one of the greatest verses in the book of Job and in the Old Testament. Hey, in the whole Bible, Job is discussing with the Lord. Oh, if I can only find you, Lord, I want to present my case. And, you know, you could look at Job in one way and say, well, he's just a complainer. Well, but look, Fred, if we went through what Job went through, we'd have a few things we wanted to say to God as well.
You know? Oh, yeah.
I've lost everything. Then his wife tells him, curse God and die. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's rough. Okay, yeah. So you come to Job 23, and you're kind of slogging through Bildad, Zohar, you know, Eliphaz, they're arguing with him. But then you come to this great, great, great verse. Job reaches up with his faith and looks at God and says, he knows the way that I take.
Yeah.
When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Folks, there are a lot of furnace times in life. Most of them come unexpected. They all come unwanted. Very few of them are announced in advance. But we know life can turn on a dime. And some of our listeners today, you're in the fire. You're in the crucible. You're in the furnace. And you feel like you've been there forever and wonder if you'll ever get out. And I remember what Warren Wiersbe said, your Heavenly Father knows what he's doing. He's got his hand on the thermostat. Mm-hmm. You won't let it get 1 degree hotter than necessary, and you won't be there 1 second longer than you need to be. That's what Job meant when he said, he knows the way that I take when he's tried me. We all go through the trying times.
Yeah.
And here's the promise of God. When he's tried me, when he's done, I shall come forth as gold. Doesn't mean we'll be rich.
No.
Unless you mean with the gold of Christian character, with the gold of Christ-like character, with the gold of the dross of life, having been burned away in the furnace, we shall come forth more beautiful than ever, because God is using our trials to make us like Jesus. And one final word, Tim, and I'll turn it back to you. When I was younger, which was a long time ago, and I read this verse, I was all jazz, gold. Hey, God's going to make gold out of me. I still like that, but it's the two words at the beginning, Tim, that mean so much to me. He knows. When I don't know, he knows. When I can't see, he sees. When life makes no sense to me, God still knows exactly what he is doing. And I am so glad. So folks, whatever you're going through today, and some of us going through really hard times, or loved ones going through hard times, hang on to Jesus. Don't give up and don't turn away, because eventually the trial will end and you'll come forth like gold for the glory of God. God knows what he's doing, even when we don't have a clue.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this, Ray. I've always heard the expression, we all have, he has the patience of Job. Okay. The question, question is, did Job really have patience?
Well, James makes that very argument. He talks about, consider the perseverance and the long suffering of Job. That's in James chapter 5. So it's perfectly biblical to say the patience of Job, but understand there were moments, and more than a few, where Job felt forgotten. He felt upset and he felt angry. And I think when you go through a hard time, you'll go through the whole gamut of human emotions. But the patience of Job means that even when you are frustrated, upset, and fearful, you do not turn away from the Lord. Let me say this, friends. When hard times come, run to Jesus. Don't run away from him. Nothing will ever get better for you if in hard times you run away from the Lord. Run to him. Run to his grace and to his mercy and to his kindness. And eventually, if it seems dark around you right now, the sun is going to shine again. And Tim, that's what I think it means. The patience of Job. We hang on to God in the hardest times. We don't turn around and we don't run away.
So you're telling me the sun will come out tomorrow?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that, but I couldn't work that in.
Well, when you said it, that's the first thing that popped in my mind.
Yeah.
What was
I said, you can bet your bottom dollar on that.
Little Orphan Annie?
Yeah.
Little Orphan Annie.
Hey, one thing I've always taken away from Job, and maybe this is why he had patience or perseverance, that guy had terrible friends.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, choose your friends better than Job did. That's one lesson from the Bible, right?
Well, and one other quick lesson. He had three friends. Remember, when they first saw him, they were so overcome, they wept. They were, but they sat in silence for 7 days, unable to say a word. They only got in trouble when they opened their mouth.
Yeah, there
that's
it
me.
Is.
That's me.
All right,
I'm going to remain silent for the rest of the show. Fred, take it up.
All right, all right. Well, listen, thank you, Ray, for that good word from the Holy Bible and lessons. We hope that you are in the Word of God every day. Because we need the inspiration and we need the life lessons and we need to build our faith in God, because you know, life is a rough and rocky road oftentimes for a lot of folks, for most of us, right? You're listening to Today's Issues. What is your first story, Chris?
Well, the government shutdown continues. And
does it continue?
As is the case with any government shutdown, the party leaders are blaming one another for the shutdown. Case in point, we have a lot of audio this morning from Democrats and Republicans.
How long has it been shut down?
For a day and counting.
Okay.
It shut down at midnight yesterday morning, and it's still shut down today, although there are reports and speculation that Democrats may come around this afternoon, but who knows? But as I was saying, Democrats are blaming Republicans for this. Democrats say that Republicans are not agreeing to their demands that the government do more in the way of funding for health care and Corporation for Public Broadcasting, i.e. NPR and PBS. Republicans are saying that Democrats really just want to fund illegal immigrants and their health care and left-wing media outlets that do the bidding of Democrats here. I've got some audio from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blaming Republicans for all this. Clip one.
Republicans tried to bully us, and it's clear they can't. They don't have the votes. The way out of this is for Republicans to finally roll up their sleeves and get to work. Republicans need to get serious and start actually addressing the looming crisis and reopen the government.
Now, somebody in government, in the Trump administration itself, that knows a thing or two about the Senate and how it works is Vice President J.D. Vance, who, of course, was a senator from Ohio. Vice President Vance was at yesterday's press briefing, and he blamed Democrats for all this. Clip two.
The Chuck Schumer AOC wing of the Democratic Party shut down the government because they said to us, we will open the government, but only if you give billions of dollars of funding for health care for illegal aliens. That's a ridiculous proposition.
Well, is that true? I trust Vice President Vance on that, but yeah. I mean,
Mike Johnson has
some
said
Democrats
the same thing.
Say it's not true.
Well, Mike Johnson agrees with it. The issue apparently is this. During the Biden years, in the wake of COVID, there were subsidies that were added on, so people who were on Obamacare got more money to pay for the extra medical care they had to have during COVID. The Republicans want to get rid of those subsidies because they say those subsidies were also given, have also been given, continue to be given to people who are in the country illegally. So they want to get rid of those subsidies because, as Vice President Vance said, it means billions of dollars of taxpayers' money going to people who are in the country illegally, which they should not be getting that kind of subsidization. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're hearing this morning is that despite the votes that you've been seeing, which have come up short for the Republicans, there are negotiations going on in the chairs off the main floor.
Okay.
And one rumor is that the two parties would agree to extend those subsidies for one more year. So that would be a compromise by the Republicans. In return, the Democrats would have to agree to end those subsidies one year from now.
Okay. You're talking about when you say subsidies, you're talking about funding medical care or insurance? Do you know how that works for people who are here illegally?
Yes.
Do they apply for? Do you know how this process works?
Well, Obamacare and the Democrats have been able to wrangle something through that says, even if you're in the country illegally, say somebody shows up at one of these medical clinics that we see all over the cities, they have to go in and they've got an Obamacare card.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, even if they're here illegally.
Yes, they have an Obamacare card.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't feel well.
Okay.
I'd like to see a doctor, like to see a nurse.
Okay.
They are taken care
Somebody
of.
Somebody has to pay for that.
Somebody has to pay for that. All right.
And Republicans are saying that that shouldn't be on the U.S. taxpayer.
That is correct.
The Democrats saying, yes, it should.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the Democrats are kind of arguing, no, we're not. We're not giving... But they are, and the J.D. Vance yesterday, I think it was, explained that it works through various government pipelines that these medical clinics are reimbursed for that service with taxpayers' money.
All right. So go ahead.
Well, I want to play a clip here of Caroline Leavitt. And the reason I want to play this is because news outlets, like a lot of news outlets, they're trying to find the things that maybe would negatively impact people or should concern people in moments like a government shutdown. Case in point, the U.S. edition of the Daily Mail yesterday had a story that says millions at risk of stroke and heart attack as government shutdown shutters key medical services. In this soundbite that I'm about to play from Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary talks about how Democrats care more about illegals than they do Americans. Clip five.
The Democrats refuse to keep the government open over health care to illegal aliens and now have jeopardized critical health care programs for American citizens instead. The Women, Infants, and Children program, community health center funding, Medicare treatment options, and other health programs are now all at risk because of the Democrats rejecting the clean CR. The most vulnerable in our country are being punished because the Democrats want to prioritize illegals over American citizens.
Another thing to point out, she talks about that clean CR. I don't have this soundbite because we had a lot of soundbites and I had to get rid of something. But trust me, I'm a journalist. Okay. Yesterday, Leavitt said that Democrats have rejected something they voted in favor of time and time and time again in moments like a government shutdown or a CR situation. So they are rejecting what they have already agreed to in the past.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. Government shutdown going on 2 days now.
Yeah. It's very interesting. This morning, the Washington Post had an editorial, and we reported this during our morning newscast. They had an editorial that, and the Washington Post, very liberal, they say the Democrats have walked into a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now...
That isn't the first time I've heard that with Trump. You walk into his trap.
He's pretty good at setting them, isn't he? Yeah, like right now, he apparently is meeting with Russell Vogt, who is the Office of...
Management and Budget.
Management and Budget, to look at areas, because it's shut down, it gives Trump the power to make a whole bunch of cuts.
Right.
And so they're meeting to go through the list of departments to see where we can cut. One of the things that was announced yesterday is that Trump has decided not to give New York City $18 billion that they wanted to use to build a second tunnel.
$18 billion
to build a second tunnel connecting New York City to New Jersey. So he can do that now that the government is shut down.
Oh, he has that authority.
He has that authority. That's why the Washington Post is saying, you've done something very dumb, Democrats.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens there with the federal government shutdown, I guess. That, like they always do, they'll get it resolved within probably the next 24 hours or so.
Yep.
Because none of the congressmen or senators wants to go back home and face the voting public on why the services have been some of the services that they count on have been shut down.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, Chris. I just, as much as I just can't get enough of federal government shutdown talk. I know I speak for Ray and Fred.
Absolutely.
We would like to continue on with this for the next half hour or so with just more examples. But we're going to have to move on to another story.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, there is an update to something we've been covering. As a matter of fact, right now, police in Manchester, England, the UK, they have labeled an attack on a synagogue yesterday as an act of terrorism. You can find this story on AFN.net. At least two people were killed, three others seriously wounded Thursday, and again, what police are calling a terrorist attack on a synagogue in northern England. This occurred on the holiest day of the Jewish year, otherwise known as Yom Kippur. The suspect is also believed to be dead after being shot by officers, but that could not immediately be confirmed by the Associated Press because of concerns that he had an explosive on him. The incident took place again on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and most solemn day on the Jewish calendar.
Listen, it's a frightening time around the world to be a Jewish person.
Yes.
Because the attacks come, from all directions, and you don't feel like you're safe anywhere. I remember hearing a Jewish fella talk about this a few months back. He said that we feel like we're being hunted.
Yeah.
You know, so it's anti-Semitism is global.
Can you imagine the frame of mind of an attacker who chooses Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high holy day, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, to attack a synagogue?
Right.
It takes a mind twisted and filled with hate. Somebody so far gone in radical Islamist ideology, they really don't care. They actually think they're serving God by attacking a Jewish synagogue. Your friend who said that to you, Tim, I feel like we're being hunted. You can understand today why Jews around the world would feel that way. Mm-hmm. These are strange and, I think, very dangerous days.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris. So two dead?
Yes, at least two dead, three others injured.
And we hear reports that synagogues, because today is this high holy day, synagogues around the country that are celebrating are on high alert. They've taken, I was listening to some of the Fox hosts this morning who said they, on their way to work, they drive by a synagogue, and one synagogue there in New York, they put huge, large stones up in front of the entry to block something like this, a guy trying to drive a vehicle through.
Right.
So that's happening. So be praying for our Jewish friends today. They're on high alert to try to protect themselves, even while they're celebrating this very holy day.
You said, Ray, Yom Kippur...
Right, the Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement is the number one holy day for Jews.
Well, it's the day in the Old Testament when the when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, it's the day in the Old Testament when the sins of the people were placed on the scapegoat and released into the wilderness. It's the day in which they enacted the rite of redemption. And so today there are no animal sacrifices in Judaism. Temple is long gone, but it is still for our Jewish friends around the world. It's a day of solemn remembrance, and it's a day of confession. It should be a day of repentance. So, yes, it's a very, very holy day, particularly terrible time. Let's say it this way. Whoever did this, this guy who's been killed, who did the attack, he knew what he was doing. Yeah. He didn't pick this day at random.
Yeah. Well, as you say, Fred, we need to remember and be in prayer for our Jewish friends who are, as you say, you know, they're worried today there's going to be attacks other places because of what Ray just mentioned, the celebration of Yom Kippur at synagogues in the U.S. and around the world. All right, next story, Chris.
All right, there has been some concern in the last few weeks, at least, that some of the people on the U.S. driving big rigs or 18-wheelers are illegally driving those big rigs and 18-wheelers. Oklahoma caught wind of this, and Governor Kevin Stitt and the head of the Oklahoma State Police, or Highway Patrol, decided they were going to do a sting on I-40, and they were going to pull people over and check licenses. Not only did Oklahoma find that a lot of illegal immigrants were driving through Oklahoma and I-40, but a lot of people driving big rigs on I-40 are illegally driving those, some of them with false or illegal CDLs. Yes.
Who are we about to hear from?
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt.
Okay.
Clip 15.
Okay. To us, it's pretty simple. We're just going to enforce the law. And to drive on roads in Oklahoma, you've got to be able to read and understand English, especially the people driving 18-wheelers. So when he told me that he pulled over 520 vehicles at one of our checkpoints as an operation, and over close to 25% of these drivers were illegally driving. They were from China, Russia, Venezuela. It is unbelievable. And these aren't people that are here legally with a legal CDL. They had overstayed their visa. They had illegally obtained this CDL. And they're just violating the intent of the law and the absolute law. The one person that we posted on from New York had literally been detained at the southern border crossing illegal in 2023. And then was just released. It was a catch and release type deal. And they showed up in New York and got their CDL license. And you saw that. It had no given name. And I'm not trying to call anybody out. I think the American people need to understand this is a problem. And we have to be a law and order state and a law and order country.
CDL, is that commercial driver's license?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. So the governor of Oklahoma authorized this sting operation, basically. So do you know if he closed down I-40?
I believe, or
it's like a checkpoint like you would see on a regular road sometimes?
I think it was a checkpoint. It was called Operation Guardian.
So then you got people backed up, you know, for a long way.
This could have been done at the scales, which necessitate 18-wheelers.
Truck stop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what he's saying is 20% of those who
over 500 they check. So we're talking about over 100 were found to be in this country illegally
driving trucks on our interstates.
As the governor mentioned, one CDL they checked didn't even have the name of the driver on it.
Yeah.
And that was New York, I think, issued that.
I have an answer to your question.
Okay, answer my question.
Operation Guardian on I-40 was both traffic stops and inspections at way stations.
Hmm.
Yeah, because all trucks got to stop at way stations. Of course, I bet they don't have to throw their driver's license. They probably just have to get on the scale and then wave them on through, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of that. Well, that's shocking. 20% aren't U.S. citizens driving trucks.
And it's scary. A lot of these guys cannot speak English, cannot read English.
That's what happened down in Florida.
Yes.
You remember the guy tried to turn around on the turnpike?
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody ran into his back end of his truck, killed him, and then they discovered that he wasn't even a U.S. citizen, couldn't speak English.
That's right.
Well, good for the governor of Oklahoma for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Fred and Chris and Ray. If you want to be on a co-host of this show, you need to apply. You need to have a one-word syllable name, right?
Yes.
Fred, Chris, Tim, and Ray.
No Alphonse.
Well, Wesley's here on Tuesdays and no who?
No Alphonse.
What is that?
Alphonse. Just a name.
Is that a Canadian word?
Oh, yeah. Alphonse. Yeah. Alf.
I just wonder where you came up with that.
We could call him Alf.
Alf.
Yes.
Well, that was a TV show in the 80s.
That's right.
You remember that?
Oh, yes.
I actually had Alf Valentine's cards when I was in kindergarten.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Random story.
How did that change your life, Chris?
I didn't get the girl, but I turned out better because I later met my wife, and we've been married for 20 years, going on forever.
Boy, there's a life story for
you.
So it all worked out.
Yeah, see? You have to have the patience of Job.
Okay. There you go.
As they say, moving right along, we have our friend Sandy Rios with us. Sandy from the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7. And Sandy, of course, served as our morning host on the show for 10 years on American Family Radio, and she joins us now. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim, and everybody.
Thanks for being on with us. What's up with you and Bruce now? What y'all been up to?
Well, we were in Boston for a big meeting, thanks to you, Tim, and that was very interesting. We did a lot of touring, too. And so, I mean, those sites never get old, and you know, because you go to Washington every year. But the Boston, New England area, it's just invigorating. And, you know, so then we also went into New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Maine, what a beautiful country we have. And the thing I noticed, Tim, was that people are happy. Now, there are exceptions, but you remember for a couple of years there around COVID, people weren't laughing. They were glum. They'd do furtive glances. They would make eye contact everywhere. And I think people are returning to a normalcy, which I felt really refreshing.
Good. That's good to know. I didn't know how, you know, I know Fred's from north of New England. I didn't know how normal people were in that part of the world. And sure, they would think the same about us. But listen, I visited there last summer, and Allison and I went up for our 40th anniversary visit to the greater Boston area. That's all we had time for, but we went to the history is unmatched. I mean, maybe Virginia, right? Yeah. And maybe Philadelphia in terms of early American history, but it's quite a remarkable place to see. And
absolutely. We loved it, too.
We took a boat ride out on the Boston Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Allison ate lobster, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Was that up in Gloucester?
She loves lobster. Huh?
Was it in Gloucester?
We did go to Gloucester, and that's a little fishing village.
Yep. On the North Shore, as they say.
I couldn't talk like them. But we walked out to a lighthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about vintage, classic.
Nice.
New England. That's what we wanted to experience, and we did.
Nice.
While we were there, and do what we do want to go back and go to those places you mentioned. Maybe go up to drive up to Fred's home area there in Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
How far is that from Maine?
Not that far, actually. Okay. You have to drive through New Brunswick.
Yeah.
To get to Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a great time of the year to go.
All right, Sandy. What? Let's see. What are our topics for today? You go ahead. Talk about what you want to talk about.
Well, it's been a blockbuster week. I mean, there's so much going on, Tim. I think it's impossible for, you know, one person to keep track of it, but I'm sure trying. Monday, or Tuesday, this meeting with generals, with Pete Hegseth, just bringing them all in from all over the world. They're grumbling, complaining about how much money it's costing. When the Pentagon spends more money, wastes more money, really, and has for decades, it's become what they call the military-industrial complex, so they're so worried about money. But they all came in, and then Pete just really let them, I challenged them. I guess let them have it would be true, but also just laid it on the line. And I think they're so pompous, and they, you know, most of them didn't want Pete. I mean, there's this culture that's very full of hubris. And then I thought that when he said there'll be no more, dudes in dresses, and there'll be no more fat generals in the halls of the Pentagon or fat soldiers,
yeah.
I felt that was actually, as funny as it was, that was, especially the weight thing, was something that really actually reduced them to where they should be. Kind of a moment of, oh my gosh, you know, even if they don't say it, kind of embarrassment. And I thought that was brilliant, and of course it's important. We can't have a fat army, a fat navy, a fat, you know, we can't have that. Look at Lloyd Austin, how heavy he was. This has gotten out of control. They're not fit. And we look at the Chinese army, even the North Koreans, they are reloaded and ready for war. And so here we are, fat and lazy, and he's changing that, and I'm glad.
Yeah, Pete Hegseth. Fred, would you?
Well, my son-in-law was in the military for a while, and he was a drill sergeant. And our Secretary of War addressed that the other day, because what happened, the standards were really lowered for the recruits coming in. Sandy, when you mentioned the physical requirements, and what the Biden administration did was set up kind of a semi-boot camp for the fat people wanting to get into the military. To give them some time to lose some weight so that they could get through boot camp. Now, that's what Biden did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the standards started being lowering during the Obama years and even maybe the Clinton years. One other issue on this, I did a long interview with Elaine Donnelly. Elaine is the founder of the Center for Military Readiness, and she and I have been friends for years. And she's been like, she was part of this Dakowitz, and I haven't got time to explain all of it. It's a committee that started like 70 years ago to address women's issues in the military. And it was a good reason initially. But Elaine served on this, and through the years has been, you know, the watchman on the wall. And this is the thing, Dakowitz, which has ushered in, you know, they want abortion on the bases, they want women to be in combat, they want... all of the things, they pushed transgender rights, hormones, they've pushed all of this. They are gone. They are gone. They are gone. And I that is absolutely fabulous, and that's because of Pete. Because feminists have gotten such a foothold in the Pentagon, and normally, and you guys will understand this, that normally, like, macho guys are scared of them. So I think, like, 98% of the things they've recommended through the years have been accepted. And so... this is it. No more dudes in skirts.
And you know, Sandy, to the greater point here is what happened when President Trump was elected, and then the recruitment numbers for the military started to go way, way up as compared to the military recruitment levels under Biden, which were really scary low because... for some of the reasons that Pete Hegseth has brought out in his talk the other day, I think, and then the generational recruitment, families who've served in the military, the grandfather did, the father did, and the son did, and those people were telling their sons, no.
That's right. Don't go.
Don't go. Don't. It's a different military. It's the woke military. Well, with the election of President Trump and then Pete Hegseth going in as Secretary of Defense, War Secretary now?
Secretary of War.
Yeah, all that has changed, and our recruitment numbers. I haven't seen the latest ones, but have been way, way up.
That's for sure.
Hey, Tim, we need to make a personal reference to before we leave this topic, because the military, it isn't just fatness or wokeness or transgenderism. As you well know, back in, I believe 2013, that comes to my head, Fort Hood had this horrible shooting, this Muslim doctor killed a number of our soldiers, and they were disarmed on the base. And so I, at the time, was doing the morning show, and I had a lot of people listening from Fort Hood. And they would call in, and one was a photographer, and they would not identify themselves, but they gave me a ton of information about what was happening in that. And I don't know if that's connected, but I believe it is, because the military under Obama started identifying American Family Association as a hate group and making their troops stop calling me, and not just me, but having anything to do with AFA. They used slides of American Family Association in training. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, I remember that. And what happened was all the federal agencies, including the military, were using Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group list as absolute truth. And we know that the Southern Poverty Law Center, that's a far left organization. They put out a hate group list every year, and we're always on it. We've been honored to be just an annual participant there. Mm-hmm. But I'm being facetious, obviously, but the federal government at the time under Obama was using this far left definition of what is a hate group, and we were on it. So when the military and also highway patrolmen were having to use this some places, we'd learned.
It was in the Pentagon. It was at the FBI. It was everywhere.
And
if I could make another point, before we left, actually physically left D.C. in 2016, there were Pride Days at the Pentagon, of course. And there were men. They would have these shows with men wearing high heels, soldiers wearing high heels. I saw at Camp Pendleton, the Marine base, this guy in the chow line in hose and high heels and a short skirt. This is where we were. This is why what Pete did on Tuesday is so important. Those days are over, thank God.
Amen. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, Sandy, what are you going to be doing this week on your podcast covering these issues we've talked about here?
Yes, we did one on Pete right away with Elaine Donnelly on Tuesday.
Okay.
This is some subject we probably can't get into, but there was another hearing on Tuesday about how the TSA and other agencies have made these lists that people get on, J6ers, also Tulsi Gabbard, Catholic parents, and I'm getting a generality. Whole swaths of people were placed on these no-fly lists or had extra scrutiny, and so there was a hearing on that. Now, it hasn't been solved yet, except the TSA particular program has, but that happened this week, too. And, you know, I just have so much. Could I talk about the shutdown for a second? All right, so...
Well, you're talking about the federal government shutdown?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, because we were saying early in the program, we just can't talk about this enough. And we were running out of time, and we just thank you for bringing it back up. You go right ahead.
All right. Well, let me tell you about a person, because I was concerned when Elon Musk left because he was being so effective, but there's a person in place who has been Elon Musk before Elon. His name is Russ Vaught. He's the director of the Office of Management and Budget. And let me just tell you personally, Russ is a graduate of Wheaton College, a very strong Christian. I've known him for years. He is a wunderkind. He's right now wearing three different hats. He runs that budget office. He's the director of the Consumer Protection Bureau, and he's running USAID. Now, the reason I mention Russ is because I'll give you an example of the kinds of things that Russ is doing. You may recall that the regulations, especially under Obama and then Biden, got so out of hand in these various agencies that people were being criminally prosecuted for, like, having ponds on their land and not the wetlands rules and all of that. It was a nightmare. So President Trump ordered those rules and regulations to be systematically gone through in every department. Well, Russ did that during his first time. What they shot for was to eliminate two rules for every one. Well, guess what? Right now, they are eliminating these ridiculous rules at a rate of 30 to 1. They're saving billions in our government and just taking the handcuffs off of Americans. And it has to do with EPA admissions and cars and electric vehicles and utilities and all of that. But the other thing is that during this shutdown, Russ has a plan. And the Democrats are having a fit. He's announced a couple of things that you may not have heard or may have. They have now halted $18 billion to New York City for infrastructure because of their DEI in hiring positions. So New York is going apoplectic, and so they're going to they're doing that. They've also cut $8 billion in green new scam funding in a bunch of states, and they're all, you know, like California, Colorado, and I could go on and on. There's a bunch of them. So that's being done too. They're also going to they're going to be firing a ton of people. People are going to be let go. I can't. I'm not prepared to explain that to you because I've got to read more about it myself. Mm-hmm. But we are expecting tons of government workers to just be disappeared and on the payroll during this shutdown. And I also think, and again, I can't confirm this either, but I think there are going to be a lot of appointments during this shutdown. So this is a great gift.
It could be a good thing.
Oh, it's a good thing. They're just not saying that. I'm just telling you, they're not bragging about that because it is all is true that the Democrats are responsible for this shutdown, and they have always used those shutdowns to blame the Republicans for shutting down the government. So the whole script has flipped. And have you seen the meme of Joaquin Jeffries in the hat with the mustache?
Yes, the sombrero.
Yes,
it's like a greeter at a Mexican restaurant there.
Yeah, with the President Trump doing a mariachi band behind him.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's masterful.
Absolutely. So Russell Vaught is a name, you know, we don't say this often, but I would say people need to pray for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember
in particular because this is a critical role in the Trump administration.
Oh, absolutely.
The Office of Management and Budget, and as you say, he's doing a lot of hard work to downsize the federal government size.
Yeah. Remember the exchange when he was first nominated for that job? Mm-hmm. He came before that Senate panel. Bernie Sanders went at him about his Christian beliefs. I don't know.
I remember that.
Oh, that was nasty. That was just really nasty.
Basically told him I'm paraphrasing now, but I almost got it exactly right. Bernie Sanders told him, because your Christian beliefs, you're unfit to be
right.
Have a role.
Yes.
I'm pulling up the quote for you here.
Yeah.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what Bernie Sanders said.
Sandy, to your point, that may explain why the Washington Post apparently this morning has an editorial that says the Democrats have walked into a trap. That's the way they put it.
I feel really sad about that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you who else is working with Russ. Do you remember? I know you do. I'm going to kind of slow walk it here. The Justice Department official who was apprehended on his driveway in his underwear one morning while he was pulled out of his home in Virginia in his underwear. And so there are these photos. He had his white shirt on in his underwear, and they were raiding his house. He was the one executive in the Department of Justice that tried to do what was right on the 2020 voting. He tried to encourage people to actually investigate these things that were coming up in the Justice Department, and he became a piranha. I mean, they just hated him. So this was harassment and humiliation. They're trying to take away his law license in the District of Columbia. I mean, he, like John Eastman, has really been through heck, and he also is a very strong Christian. And I would also add, because I think this is cool. Maybe it's self-serving, but I'm just proud of it. Jeff listens to my show. He used to listen all the time. Jeff Clark is working with Russ. And they're just knocking it out of the ballpark. They have unleashed monsters. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. And by the way, a lot of these FBI whistleblowers are being restored. Those IRS whistleblowers that blew on the big guy and Hunter, they are actually running the IRS now. They're actually running. Now, they don't have the official titles, but they're running the IRS.
My, how the tables have turned.
Yes, I know. I'm excited. I really am.
We can tell. Yeah. No, you're more beyond excited. You're giddy.
Yeah. When have we ever?
I know.
God is so good, Tim.
Amen.
we have for so many years, I think, felt just hopeless. At every conversation was hopeless. It's more and more bad news, and lives are at stake, as we all know.
Yeah.
And so our health, everything, our safety. And so to continue to have, and I lay it all at the feet of God, I just think God is having mercy on us, as we saw at Charlie's service.
Mm-hmm.
All of these leaders that we have now, not all of them, but many of them are just strong believers in the Lord Jesus, bold and courageous. And there's a lot more whose names you don't know serving with the president. And so this is a time of rejoicing and a time for us to rise up and find our own courage to fight in our own sphere, to restore things to the way they should be, with God in the center and his laws honored and our people self-controlled and not out of control.
Amen. We're talking to Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios 24/7. Now, it's the podcast. If you want to get Sandy's podcast, where she talks about the matters like we've been discussing for the last little while here, and listen, she interviews movers and shakers, go to our website, afr.net. AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see the banner for Sandy Rios 24/7. You can listen to some of her previous podcast, or just sign up there to when Sandy releases a new podcast, you'll be notified and be able to listen to her reports and her interviews and her analysis. All right, Sandy, thanks so much for being on with us. Tell Bruce we said hello.
I will, absolutely. I will.
And
been more firings at the FBI too, by the way. Lots of them.
Okay, and you're excited about that too?
Yes, they're cleaning house. They're just cleaning house. It's amazing. Happy, happy, happy.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have Bruce on next time to talk about that. We will.
You should. Okay.
We'll get it. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate
it. Okay, my pleasure. Love you guys.
Okay,
talk
love
to
you
soon.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. I'm ready to go.
Tell you what.
Sandy's, huh? She's, you know, I used to call Sandy Debbie Downer, because she'd come on here and we'd do interviews and I'd be excited about something. She'd say, yeah, but. Right? Sandy was Debbie Downer. Now she's
But now she is up and ready to go. And
excited Ellen. Yes. I don't know. I'm trying to get a D right there.
Let's go. I like the idea that these whistleblowers have been restored.
Yes.
Got some honorable people heading up the IRS. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful news.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You know, the last presidential election, we say this about every presidential election, because at the moment it is true. You can make a case for it, but it's the most important election in a long, long time, let's say. The election, I'm saying, was the most important presidential election in a long, long time. Because had the United States of America chosen to go with Kamala Harris and the far-left Democrat Party, I mean, it would have symbolized just the end of our country as we've known it, right? Yeah.
You know, I look back, remember going back 1979, hostages being held in Iran.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter up for re-election.
Right.
That was a God thing.
Yeah.
How that all worked out.
And then Ronald Reagan was elected.
In this last election, Joe Biden goes out, tries to debate Donald Trump.
Right.
It's an absolute disaster.
Right.
It's getting late in the game.
Right.
So they go with Kamala Harris.
Right.
I mean, it's just God's hand had to be in that.
Yeah. And we know what happened. You know, and President Trump also won the popular vote, which I think was very significant.
First time in 20 years that a Republican has won the popular vote.
Yeah. So he won the popular vote and obviously he won the Electoral College. Listen, you know, President Trump, you know, I say he's good Trump, bad Trump. His bad Trump, he has a bad Trump. It's mostly something dumb he says.
That's right.
Or something, some kind of an action that he takes that is just like going. What?
You can get good Trump and bad Trump back to back, right?
You get same day,
in the same interview, right?
Yes. But as Wesley, my son, points out, and as Sandy would point out, on whole, President Trump's policies and the people that he has in his administration on whole are excellent. And they're very good for our country, the policies. I read the other day where these tariffs that he initiated, and this was being acknowledged by liberal news publications, that everybody thought, and who knew? I didn't know anything about tariffs, so I thought, well, is this going to lead to some kind of trade war that's going to be disastrous for us? Well, it hasn't, at least yet, and it's bringing in a ton of money to our country. Did you guys see this?
Oh, yeah. It goes to show you that you shouldn't believe everything somebody on the television tells you.
Right. Yeah. No, the left-wing media, they've been...
You mean not everything on the internet is true?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Shocking.
Wow.
So anyway, listen, President Trump is not perfect. Now, don't tell him that, but...
if you did, he wouldn't believe you.
Wouldn't believe you. But the man has done, as I say, if you're just going to grade him out, not day-to-day and some of the dumb getting into it with Rosie O'Donnell and stuff like that. I'm talking about just policy and how he's handled the presidency. You got to give him a 9 out of 10, I think.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Especially coming off the 4 years that he experienced under Biden.
Right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be with us in a few minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.